This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
His name means great in his power. Russian speakers understand the meaning as peace rules or world peace. Who are we talking about? Vladimir Putin. Or as some say, Vladimir Putin. Great in his power. Today on Viewpoint, we want to talk about the Russian connection. We want to talk about, actually, the bear versus the Pope. We want to talk about why Russia matters. We want to talk about why the rest of the world doesn't get it. We want to talk about Vladimir Putin. He said, God gave me perfect judgment. That's an interesting statement coming from Vladimir Putin, but that's exactly what he said in Rome to the Pope. God gave me perfect judgment. Can you say that about yourself? Well, that's what Vladimir Putin said. And the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Russian president said God has blessed him with perfect judgment and he has a clean conscience. Well, that's more than most pastors can say today. A clean conscience? The Apostle Paul talks about the power of a clean conscience and said that those who do not have a clean conscience, well, they're going to experience destruction. Shipwreck, he says. Shipwreck. Now, it's interesting that Vladimir Putin has vowed to defend Christianity worldwide. The representative of the Russian Orthodox Church told Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin of the urgent situation facing that Christians were facing around the world in persecution hotspots, asked him to use his power to aid their situations. Indeed, Vladimir Putin responded, you needn't have any doubt that that's the way it's going to be. He assured that Russian foreign policy would defend Christians from persecution abroad. Then, a Syrian Christian woman told the Global Post, thank God for Russia. Without Russia, we are doomed. How are we to understand this in the context, in the light of how Russia is viewed in American politics? How we have historically viewed Russia. As I grew up as a young boy, I understood that, well, Russia was our biggest problem. The communists, Russia, that was the world enemy. Not so much evil itself, but Russia. And Russia was the incarnation of evil. Communism and Russia, that's what we should fear. Today, it seems that, yes, indeed, we do fear Russia. We fear Russia's interference with our politics, with our elections. The nations of the earth seem to fear that. But today, on Viewpoint, we're going to see how Russia fares in the greater panoply of world history and prophecy, and I hope you will stay too. I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and it's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. I'm hearing strange noises. I'm wondering if we're being interfered upon by some strange forces out there. But in any event, we will continue pressing on. For Time magazine, in its latest edition, says Putin believes that he's destined to make Russia great again. And he's just getting started. Destined to make Russia great again, and he's just getting started. Again, I want to welcome you back to Viewpoint today. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And I trust that today's conversation, even though loaded with information, much of which perhaps you have never heard before, or maybe you've heard, but it just didn't register. But today, hopefully, it will register in a way that perhaps it hasn't in the past. There is a reason why Vladimir Putin acts as he does, there is a reason why he seems to have the incredible boldness that he seems to have. He's not just an alpha male. There's something else going on here that we need to understand. And if we don't understand it, we'll never be able to make decisions in our government or even in our understanding and estimation of the dynamics of our world, its geopolitics, and what is taking place. And so, today we continue to focus on that. In my latest book, King of the, not my latest book, but recent book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle, we have a chapter titled The Bear versus the Pope. Now, the bear represents Russia, always has, always will. In fact, there is a motivating force propelling Russia in this pivotal moment. We talk about that in that chapter under the heading The Savior of the World. Now, that may be a strange subtitle to use with regard to Russia, but remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, and as a nation thinks in its heart, so it is and becomes and acts out. Perhaps the strongest motivating force propelling Russia in this pivotal moment is this. In the last quarter of the 19th century, Third Rome came to be identified with the idea of a Russian mission. One of the chief characteristics of the Third Rome concept was absolute supremacy. Therefore, Moscow, as the newest so-called Rome, is above other countries. And as the supreme state, Russia is the holy Russia. Therefore, Russia, as the Third Rome, is an instrument of God chosen by him for the fulfillment of his aims. And as for the monk, Philofey, who wrote that all Christian realms will come to an end and will unite into one single realm of our sovereign, we have to understand the concept of this idea of a third Rome. Now, this burden of a third Rome is revealed in a long tradition of Russian, as they say, messianism, a messianic concept, which is brought back to life every cyclical decline of Russian political authority. And for this reason, modern all-Russian nationalism has become a new and dangerous chimera of economically and politically frustrated Russians. The preview of a book called Russia's Rome, Imperial Visions, Messianic Dreams, notes, quote, the myth of Russia, or the Third Rome, was resurrected to create a Rome-based discourse of Russian national identity that endured even as the empire of the Tsars, that is the Russian Caesars, declined and fell and a new state replaced it. And so we need to understand, what is this Third Rome business all about? And where does Vladimir Putin fit in the resurrection realization of the so-called Third Rome? We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Is Vladimir Putin destined to make Russia great again, as Time magazine stated in its latest issue, stating that he's just getting started? A few weeks ago, one of the members of the Russian government turned to President Putin and asked him, Vladimir, well, what will happen to me after March 18th? Well, March 18th was the Russian election this last Sunday. Putin has always known What would happen to him after March 18th? His re-election for a fourth term was a given. Why? He had an 80% approval rating. And under the current Russian constitution, while this should be Putin's last six-year term in office, nobody really believes that Putin is going to step down in 2024. There's a misconception that Putin is tired, needs rest, and wants to live the life of a billionaire, said a former minister. But Putin is far from being tired. He's interested in everything and digs into every matter, said the Russian minister, paying attention to all the details. This is his lifestyle. This is who he is. And he can't imagine life without power. But why? Is he the emerging new czar or Caesar to rule a Russian empire? Or is there something even bigger, something even greater in his estimation, and yes, even in the lurking estimation in the hearts, deep in the souls of the Russian people, where one propaganda chief said, without Putin, there is no Russia. So Putin, according to Time magazine, is preparing for a new era. He said, we've now come to believe in God. And if Russia is God's chosen nation, it follows that Putin is God's chosen leader. And the president himself, Putin, subscribes to that view. Why, though? That's what we want to focus on here on the program today. And I hope that you will stay tuned, friends, because Vladimir Putin sees himself very differently than we do in the West, and certainly very differently than John McCain, the senator from Arizona, views him. But why? What is it that John McCain doesn't get? What is it that many in our government do not get, do not understand about Vladimir Putin and Russia itself? 3 years ago, Vladimir Putin told the Russian people, it is your holy duty to be patriotic. Your holy duty. Now, in America, we kind of used to think that way. But these days, the whole concept of patriotism is debunked. And those who would like to say that they're patriotic and that it might be their holy duty to be patriotic would shrink in saying something like that because political correctness would take them to the woodshed for doing so. But how does Vladimir Putin get by with making such a statement? A statement where he says that Russian patriotism is a holy duty. Well, let's take a look at that. Going back to the concept of a third Rome. Now, we don't have a whole lot of time to go into this, but I want to at least sow enough seeds, and then you can go back to my book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle, and you can understand, you'll be able to get the full picture of what's going on here. And that's just one chapter of the book, friends, The Bear versus the Pope. Yes, we'll get to why it's the bear versus the Pope, and I think it should be rather self-evident as we begin to understand the nature of the concept of Third Rome. The term Third Rome refers to a doctrine that Russia, in fact, more specifically, Moscow, succeeded Rome, that is, the Western Rome that we know of, the seat of the Vatican, and also succeeded the Byzantium Rome that was called Constantinople, as the ultimate true center of Christianity and even of the Roman Empire itself. So the seeds of this concept were actually planted by Constantine when he removed the capital of the empire of the Catholic Church from Rome to Constantinople, and he renamed the small town New Rome. Only later was it called Constantinople after his name. Constantine called it the New Rome. So within decades after capturing of Constantinople by the Ottoman Empire in 1453, some were nominating Moscow as the Third Rome or the New Rome. Now, it's very important to understand this, because remember, as a man or even as a country and its people think in their hearts, so they are and act. So this idea of Third Rome served to elevate Russia's conception of its place within the Orthodox Christian world, in fact, within the whole world. And so closely was Russia's identity of soul within the concept of Third Rome that in the 1510s, Joseph Volokh, while claiming that the Orthodox Tsar is in the power like unto God, asserted that any wavering from Orthodoxy would lead to the fall of Russia. So it became like an apocalyptic title. Rome had fallen to Catholicism, Constantinople had fallen to the Muslims, and so Moscow saw itself as the last stand against the heretics, both Muslims and Catholics. So the Third Rome became Moscow's most compelling and, you might say even enigmatic epithet. And it remains to be seen the impact of that in these latter days. Now, we talk about all of this in the book King of the Mountain. This idea of the Third Rome came as a prophecy back in, the 1500s, a very long period of time ago, in which it was said that Moscow was the Third Rome and there would never be another. Now, whether you agree with that or whether anyone else in the world agrees with that, Russians do. Most Russians do, in some way. And therefore, it's defining history. It's defining the trajectory of politics. It's defining the locus of power. It's defining even, shall we say, a new kind of holy boldness by Russia and Vladimir Putin. And this is why Mr. Putin is seen as the savior of Russia, and Russia is seen as the savior of the world. Now, that, again, may sound awfully strange to you and to me in the West. But John Paul II, Pope John Paul II, understood it very well, even then. Oh, yes, he did. In fact, Malachi Martin, in his book, famous book, The Keys of This Blood, remember, Malachi Martin was a Vatican insider, and in his book, he had a subtitle, Pope John Paul II versus Russia and the West for Control of the New World Order. Now, you may think that's pretty strange. Pope John Paul II and the New World Order? Well, you think it's strange unless you understand that Pope John Paul II believed that the Roman Catholic Church was to lead, under the aegis of the Pope, a new world order. In other words, to rule the world. But Malachi Martin, a Vatican insider, back in 1978, believed that when Pope John Paul II was made pope, that was his view of history. And, in fact, here's what the Pope said. It was one of the most prophetic speeches ever given, according to Malachi Martin. He said, "We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has gone through, a test of 2,000 years of culture and Christian civilization." But he chided his listeners Wide circles of American society and wide circles of the Christian community do not realize this fully. Malachi Martin said nobody had any idea that the Pope-to-be was pointing to a competition that he already saw on the horizon between the world's only three internationally based power structures for truly global government or hegemony. What were they? The Vatican, the papacy, Russia, and the Western agglomeration of internationalist corporations described as the Western effort for a new world order or globalism. Can you see then why Third Rome, Moscow, would be seen as the arch enemy of the papacy? That's exactly how Pope John Paul II saw it. Now, interestingly, 15 centuries ago, a fellow by the name of Filofe gave a prophecy in Russia. And it wasn't to be missed by the papacy of the Roman Catholic Church. Here's what he said. Be aware of God and Christ, that all Christian empires have come to an end and are gathered together in the singular empire of our sovereign in accordance to the books of prophecy, and this is the Russian Empire, because two Romes have fallen and a third stands, that is Moscow, and a fourth there shall not be. Russia embraces that, friends. Vladimir Putin embraces that. And so he can declare, he can believe that indeed Russia is destined to rule the world as the savior of the whole Christian testimony in the world. That's what they think. Now, if you really believe that in the United States of America, then you would very likely, if as the Russians, you would be very likely to embrace a particular leader who seemed to embrace that viewpoint as the very hand of God to bring about the fulfillment of prophecy. And that's exactly how the Russians see it. We can't see it that way because we don't live in their world. But that's how they see it. And as we said, as a man or a country thinks in its heart, so is it. I want to make available the book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle. I can almost guarantee you've never read a book like this. And we're only talking about the distilled information from a few pages right now. It deals with far more than Russia, or far more than the papacy. It deals with the great competitors in our world that are seeking right now to become king of the mountain, to rule and reign from Mount Zion, the Temple Mount. It's a $20 book, yours for $15 here on the program. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. King of the Mountain. All right, now, we're going to go further here. Remember, we opened indicating Vladimir Putin had vowed to defend Christianity worldwide. Why would WorldNet Daily carry an article just a few years ago that Russia is marching to a holy war? A holy war. Is that really how Russia sees this? Would that not affect them, their behavior, decisions of their president? Absolutely. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
Did God give Vladimir Putin perfect judgment? Well, Vladimir Putin said so right in front of the Pope. The bear versus the Pope. Yes, the bear versus the Pope. Russia versus the Pope. Vladimir Putin only being the titular representative of Russia, which in their own history, their own prophecy through a fellow by the name of Filofi back 1,500 years ago, believes that they are ordained by God to be the saviors of the world. Not just political savior, spiritual savior. And that's why Pope John Paul II believed that Russia was one of the greatest enemies of the Vatican, of the papacy. It wasn't just communist Russia, because the Pope was very well aware of that prophecy that Russia or Moscow was deemed within the heart of Russia, the Russian people, to be the third Rome, and there would never be another. Now, that having been said, and we understand that Vladimir Putin vowed to defend Christianity worldwide, what else would Vladimir Putin have to say concerning this matter of the spiritual matter of Russia and the world? Well, try this one. Russian President Vladimir Putin rebukes U.S. Obama for abandoning God and Christian values by promoting homosexuality and homosexual marriage. Vladimir Putin, former KGB agent of a once atheist nation, rebukes America, a once Christian nation, for saying that by forsaking traditional Christian values and putting same-sex marriage on the same level as traditional marriage with a man, woman, and children, the nation is forsaking God and believing in Satan and will be led into degradation and chaotic darkness. You see, at the height of the Cold War, it was common for American conservatives to label the officially atheist Soviet Union a godless nation, and rightly so. But more than two decades on now, history has come full circle as the Kremlin and its allies in the Russian Orthodox Church are hurling the same allegation at America and the whole Western world. Russian President Vladimir Putin said in a keynote speech, many Euro-Atlantic countries have moved away from their roots, including Christian values. In a State of the Nation address, Mr. Putin also portrayed Russia as a staunch defender of traditional values against what he depicted as the morally bankrupt West. He said social and religious conservatism is the only way to prevent the world from slipping into chaotic darkness. As part of this defense of Christian values, he said, Russia has adopted a law banning homosexual propaganda and another that makes it a criminal offense to insult the religious sensibilities of believers. It's hard for us to get our mind around this, isn't it? Another from Breitbart News. Vladimir Putin, America is godless, has turned away from Christian values. What a rebuke. What an absolute rebuke. Others are saying, well, Vladimir Putin actually has a much bigger vision, and that is of an imperial rebirth. Time magazine declared that a number of years ago. Yet we're experiencing Russia as interfering with a presidential election and perhaps in other ways, trying to figure out what's going on. What is going on? Well, maybe we can get a better understanding going back 3 years to the Washington Times. Putin finds an ally in the resurgent Russian Orthodox Church. On the 145th anniversary of the birth of Vladimir Lenin, the head of the present-day Communist Party compared the founder of the officially atheist Soviet Union to Jesus Christ. Now, you may think, wow, this is amazing. This is too much. Well, you have to understand their thinking. Declared that the Soviet Union had been an attempt to create God's kingdom on earth. This is the head of the Communist Party in Russia just 3 years ago. It wasn't Mr. Putin that said that. It was the head of the Communist Party. So from their viewpoint, they saw the goal of communism as an attempt to create God's kingdom on earth. Not much different than the liberals today. Going for socialism, which is the economic undergirding of communism. Large numbers of the Democratic Party in our Congress today are communists. Many more are socialists. They're not much different than the Communist Party in Russia. Well, that controversial statement by the head of the Communist Party just a few years ago was the culmination of a dramatic upturn in fortunes for the Russian Orthodox Church, which has seen its religious revival in the post-Soviet era matched by a growing behind-the-scenes political clout, literally giving its blessing to Russian President Vladimir Putin's decision to escalate the country's military mission in Syria. Now you can understand why Russia refuses to back down to any political persuasion or threats by the West, including the U.S., in Syria. In 2012, the powerful head of the Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill, publicly endorsed Vladimir Putin for a controversial third term, and here's what he said. Listen very carefully, friends. He described the ex-KGB officer's rule as, quote, a miracle of God, unquote. A miracle of God. 80% approval rating of Vladimir Putin in Russia. Now, whether that's distorted in some ways, possibly so, but 80%? Suppose it's distorted by 10%. A 70% approval rating is still better than any leader in any country of the world can claim, or ever could, except George Washington, the father of our country. Signs of this mutually beneficial relationship between the Russian authorities and the Russian Orthodox Church are everywhere. Priests regularly sprinkle Russian space rockets with holy water ahead of their liftoff, while the Orthodox Church has even held a religious service in honor of the nation's stockpile of nuclear weapons. So when the Kremlin ordered airstrikes in Syria, the church was quick to lend its support. Russian armed forces were quick to protect the Syrian people as part of the holy battle against terrorism. So, they say, the fight against terrorism is a moral struggle, a holy struggle. It's not just a politically protective struggle, it's a holy struggle from the Russian viewpoint, at least as it's being portrayed. So that statement demonstrates the complete and final merger of the Russian Orthodox Church and the state. In fact, the Russian Orthodox Church has also gone so far as to lend its support to Vladimir Putin's gradual rehabilitation of the memory or reputation of Joseph Stalin, if you can believe that. Praising his so-called undoubted successes, even though they make no direction, no mention of the gulags or the millions, 30 million or so, murdered by Soviet authorities under Stalin. So what we're looking at here is something, a merger of religious commitment with political vision and power. The Russian Orthodox Church is itself much more a pillar of the Russian statehood now, a loyal partner of the state than just a source of moral authority and spiritual comfort. For many, being an Orthodox Christian simply means being Russian. All right. To understand this great conflict and the battle for King of the Mountain, you can understand why Russia would be pursuing this level of power and why Vladimir Putin believes that he is anointed or called to the kingdom for such a time as this. He believes that. He believes that he is the political representative of the spiritual calling of Russia to save the world for Christ. I don't know how much more simply to put it. In addition to that, there are many who believe that Vladimir Putin is Jewish, that he has a certain affection for the Jewish people, and that it is giving him a unique in with Israel. Pretty unbelievable. But I have a whole heap of articles to validate. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The bear versus the pope. Is Vladimir Putin God's miracle for the world? That's what the Russian people believe. You can understand then why he would have about an 80% approval rating and was elected again now for a fourth term. And if he desires and somehow they amend the Constitution again or whatever, the chances are he will continue in office indefinitely. But what is the impact? What is the how should we understand this here in the West as Americans? According to Pravda, which means truth, from Russian publication, the heading reads, Putin wants the world to honor Russia again. Did you know that Russia was once one of the three most powerful nations on the planet? You might not have realized that, but it was. Vladimir Putin believes that Russia's time for being humbled before the nations is over. This is Russia's moment. This is Russia's time to rise to its rightful position, its divine calling in the earth to save the world and to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what he believes. Pravda, which is not a spiritually oriented publication for Russia, says the West demonizes Putin, but Russia idolizes him. That's true. That's true. The euro, because of Putin, the Euro-Atlantic world started putting unprecedented pressure on Russia. Washington accuses him of building an empire. Opponents of liberal ideology see him as a person who takes alternative efforts to transform world order. Putin says that the American style of politics makes the world a dangerous place. He speaks a lot about issues related to the motherland, respect, honor, and family, demonstrating the burgeoning conservative renaissance in Russia. And at the same time, he denies accusations of return to the past, that is, under a czar or under a dictatorship such as Lenin or Stalin. He said, I'm a great Russian nationalist, serving the people. He expresses his perception of democracy. He said, I need to meet expectations of my people rather than that of the West. He describes the current situation of the world as a depressing picture. He says the Russian bear will not ask permission from anyone. Is there a way to explain that from more than 7 billion people on Earth, the United States is afraid of only one, Vladimir Putin? Interesting. Interesting perceptions. Now, Mr. Putin knows that currently his economy is not strong enough to accomplish his objective. China has a view to ruling the world within 30 years. Just 2 months ago, the president of China, term was extended indefinitely to become a, shall we say, democratically determined dictator for all of China, 1.3 billion people. He said, within 30 years, we intend to rule the world. That includes the United States. China has the money. China has the people. Russia has the military. Russia has the military technology and power. So, 3 years ago, the Business Insider publication carried this headline, China will be the bank and Russia will be the big gun in Central Asia. We're seeing the emergence of a dual power structure in Central Asia with China as the dominant economic power and Russia as the big security player. Each of them knows they need the other, yet they are not friends. Perhaps you've heard the phrase that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. The United States and the Western world are the enemy of China because we stand in the way of their desire to rule the world. America and Europe, the Western world, are the enemy of Russia from their perspective because we stand in the way of their vision to rule the world. Therefore, even though Russia and China, there's no love lost between them, but they will use one another in order to try to achieve their individual objective to rule the world, thinking that at the end, one of them will come on top, and of course they think it'll be them. Just like kids playing a game, King of the Hill or King of the Mountain, and try to pull one another down, or will get two or three of their friends to come and try to pull down the reigning ruler on top of the hill, thinking that they're going to be the one that's going to end up on top. That's what this is about. That's how it's working. And that's why the name of my book, King of the Mountain, where he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. Now, if you don't have a copy of that book, I urge you to get it, because it's going to open your heart, open your mind, open your understanding to the developments in our world. People have said, and by the way, this book was written in 2013. People have said, you know what? The things that you have written in this book are only now coming to play. How did you know about those things? All I can tell you, friend, is I believe that the Lord revealed this plan, how things were developing, the intersection of Bible prophecy and history that are now becoming congruent, so that we could understand it and not be deceived in these end times. It's a $20 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org, or call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. The British Guardian publication came out with their headline, "The World's New Superpower Axis, China and Russia. Their shared goal of challenging U.S. hegemony." Then again, from Russia, Sputnik News. "China and Russia ties reach peak in entire history." This is huge, friends. This is something that has never, ever before been seen in history. Then, from Breitbart News, "China and Russia build massive database from hacks to use against America." Notice, this isn't just Russia hacking America. According to U.S. officials cited by the L.A. Times, China and Russia are cross-indexing the mountain of data stolen in the Office of Personnel Management that was hacked earlier in 2015 with other major data breaches, including stolen airline bookings, the Ashley Madison subscriber database to identify intelligence officials, their agents, and assets. And that's just the beginning. This didn't just start, friends, with the 2016 election. No. This is an evidence. It is a continuing evidence of the battle for King of the Mountain. Another Lignet News came out with this headline, "Russia-China ties could lead to seismic geopolitical shift." A budding alliance between Russia and China in bringing the Eurasian giants closer together than at any time since the Sino-Soviet split in 1954. Perceived weakness in both Europe and the United States has created a power vacuum that Moscow and Beijing are willing and eager to fill. If the new relationship evolves in a grand alliance, it will be the most significant geopolitical shift since the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1991. Do you know when it was, friends, that this observation was made? During the latter part of the Obama administration. Why? Because Mr. Obama, in his two terms, so weakened the position of the United States and the entire Western world with regard to China and Russia, that he opened up this huge, huge gap that they were weary, or vacuum that they were very willing to fulfill. So, again, we return to the concept of the bear versus the Pope. And the difference between First Rome, which is the Rome that the Vatican occupies, Second Rome, which was the Byzantium capital of Constantinople, originally called Second Rome, and then finally, Moscow, deemed to be Third Rome. Now, we know that neither First Rome nor Third Rome are going to ultimately rule and reign as, what should we say, the consummate king of the mountain that will complete what is called the millennial end game. Yes, that's exactly a term that was used by Malachi Martin, the Vatican insider, introducing what he called the grand design of Pope John Paul II, the millennial end game. That's where we are, friends. This is all about the millennial end game. It's about this great confrontation that is coming about as the nations and leaders of the world, under the directive hand and spirit of the of Satan himself, the deceiver, who will bring forth a counterfeit Christ. All of this is happening right in front of our eyes, and we don't see it. Our pastors, for the most part, don't see it. Our politicians don't see it. We are being suckered into very a total lack of understanding, a vortex of improper, incorrect thinking that will bring us to the end of ourselves and bring the majority to massive, massive deception and embracing of a counterfeit Christ. Neither the First Rome, the Vatican, nor the Third Rome, Moscow, are going to ultimately rule and reign. Only Christ, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is going to have that final word. Mary is not going to rule the world. Only Jesus. His will is going to stand. The question is, does his will stand in your life? That's the real question. Isn't it? Does he rule and reign on the Temple Mount of your heart? Don't answer too quickly. Why don't you ask the Lord about that? That's what this program is about. I hope you'll do that. And thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Go to our website, saveus.org. Nobody else is doing it. You do it, friends. Let's join together to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.